It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our September edition of Laker Hockey Talk. It's Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten, talking Laker hockey. And, you know, the big question right out of the gate here, Damon, I don't know how we even answer this. Fans want to know when there's going to be a season, when we'll start. The WCHA came out with a news release last week saying that the season is on hold, but they didn't really say anything about when it might start, et cetera. So is there any inside information that we might have here? Are we going to start November, December, January, or do we have a clue what we're going to do?
Yeah, well, we're working towards a clue, and we hope we do. And good Thursday morning to everybody listening in. And yeah, that announcement lined up across the country of a delayed start to the college hockey season. And as everybody's getting back on campus, campuses working out protocols of testing and contact tracing, all those items that every institution is working through and trying to figure out what it looks like through this environment. So we're not starting on time. I think nationally there's a lot of optimism that we will have a season, and even optimism that a potential November start. Obviously with news just yesterday of the Big Ten football reversing their decision and they're going to play, I think that helps throughout the Midwest where we have a lot of college hockey. Certainly in our state, that helps as well. So a lot of optimism and looking at November starts is what we're hopeful for and, what we're pushing for. Again, got to keep the safety of our student-athletes in mind. But we are pushing and working hard on a November start date and hopeful that that will happen.
And I would think the players want to play. I've talked to a couple of our players away from the rink, and they tell me they're not really even skating that much right now. They're mostly working out in the weight room, et cetera. They're a lot of cutbacks on what we're doing even at this point, but they want to play.
Well, no question about it. And certainly, we've seen a little bit in college football. There's an opt-out option if there are any student athletes that, whether they feel like they have some underlying conditions or just are not comfortable, they have the option to opt out with no punishment, no penalty. They can regain eligibility, et cetera. So, that's an option for everybody. But like you're saying, I have not heard of one of our student athletes, one of our hockey players that does not want to play, that's not eager to play, trying to maybe educate some on campus that don't come from an athletic world. We've had guys that have, Miroslav Muka left his home country and flew to USA on his own as a ninth grader to pursue hockey and his dreams of playing college hockey and pro hockey. And, so many cases like that. I remember CJ Hayes, he left Florida as an eighth grader to go billet in Chicago to play for Team Illinois, a higher level, a chance to get a scholarship, play college hockey, things like that. This is what our guys are wired to do. And certainly for our team in town here, our guys come from all over the world and they don't have, families down across the bridge or, over in Marquette or wherever the case may be. Our guys are really isolated and for many of them, whether they're from British Columbia or Sweden, and that hockey team is their family. It's certainly why they're here, but even beyond that. So they want to be going and they want to play, and this is a big thing to them that they're wired to do their whole lives. And as you mentioned, Bill, we've been shut down for we're just getting off our moratorium. I meant to talk to our athletic trainer before I got over here, but I think we've probably tested our guys 200 or 300 times at least, and we've not had a positive in the hockey program, whether players, staff, and so we're really really encouraged that our players are doing, for the most part, a really good job of limiting where they're going, making good decisions around the rink and around town and in social settings. Again, for the most part, there's been a couple situations where we've asked them to do a little bit better job and with who they're coming in contact with, but they're really trying to sacrifice and do the right things to keep going. So, it was frustrating to be shut down and lose that 14 days of training and skating, as you mentioned, but we're hopeful we're back at it later here this afternoon, and that we can kind of, harness that and then keep it going by continuing to do the right things and testing, making good decisions socially, and staying healthy so that we can move forward and have the season.
Yeah, you wonder too, at this point, you know, the rubber's meeting the road now. It's kind of easy when it's not in season yet to curtail things and kind of wait and put things off. And we're afraid of COVID-19 and it's spreading and positive tests, et cetera. But, you know, when it comes right down to it here, a lot of these sports are revenue creators, and we kind of need that revenue. I think that's why we're seeing the Big Ten make this change. I think they know that there is money to be made in football, and that's why football, that's the cash cow with most universities. And we don't have football at Lake Superior State. We have hockey as being our quote-unquote cash cow. We may not make a fortune with it, but I think we make enough. We probably pay a few salaries. We probably pay some budget issues. This is becoming a serious situation now between trying to make sure you take care of the health of the student athletes and the students in general and trying to make sure you stay in business.
Yeah.
We could fail here.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a big impact in both those things. You know, if anybody follows it, and, you know, I'm not sure anybody follows it more than I do, but you're looking at Big Ten schools talking about $100 million in revenue shortfalls or differences from previous years, $80 million in shortfalls. I mean, there's major revenue issues on campuses across the country, and we're no different. You know, we're going to be hit that way. And so, you know, we do need hockey to try to resume in a safe manner, as you mentioned, and you know, to get going in a smart way, and then you know, generate some revenue, generate some, I think, normalcy for those of us who follow the program. To me, one major area, and I think we hit it last month as well, that we don't talk about is the social and mental well-being of whether it's school age children or our college hockey players. You know, that I don't think there's enough people looking out for that. You know, we can't isolate kids, we can't isolate college kids. You know, we have to be smart socially and make good decisions and be responsible. But I think some of the mental aspects and the social aspects we're seeing are just as dangerous as the COVID aspects. And to me, I don't think there's been enough of that conversation within our state, within our nation, that we're protecting our kids and are at risk that way as well.
Well, if the Big Ten's going to play football, I would imagine that there will be some other sports that will follow too, because they need the revenue, et cetera. But and we do too. There's no doubt about it. What do we tell our fans? Has there been any conversation on campus with Dave Pateson or with the president or cabinet or whatever about maybe being able to sell some season tickets in advance? Is there any way that we can approach this thing and say, hey, fans, we are going to play here eventually, and there will be a way for you to see us play?
That's a great question, Bill, and I should probably be careful how much I say. I don't want to misspeak or say anything incorrectly, but again, a lot of optimism that we will play. I truly believe we're going to have some type of a season. Within the WCHA, you know, we do have a league schedule for different proposed start dates, so I do think we see hockey. And again, I don't want to misspeak, but in conversations I've had with our administration and Dr. Pateson, you know, if we're following the state of Michigan guidelines, my understanding is we can have about 25% attendance as of today's guidelines. You know, hopefully that changes and things get better and that can improve. But if I do my math correctly, that's about 1,000 people in the game. And so I think we're optimistic for that. That's not 100%. We're optimistic that we can follow state guidelines and have some fans in attendance. And I think for those who don't want to be left out because of that really limited ticket availability, you know, you can get online or you can reach Hunter Perry and do a deposit. We're taking $100 deposits for seats. And again, we anticipate there being, you know, a pretty good demand for those with the limited availability, which again, as of today, is probably 1,000 at the most. And I'm not sure how that counts, you know, team personnel and radio broadcast, all those things, if that's in addition to or part of that 1,000. But there will be a very limited amount if we are able to do it. And so, you know, we are going to advise people to get in touch with Hunter Perry right away to get a deposit in. That's going to help us have a feel of what that demand looks like. But it's also going to allow our fans, you know, that reserve opportunity to make sure they can attend games.
I think that's good, though, that at least gives the fans who are asking the question, hey, what about us? If there is a season, what are we going to do? And you're kind of, that's good. I mean, if you can put a deposit down, hold yourself some season tickets when it does start, you'd be guaranteed getting an opportunity there. We are going to have to draw a number there as to how many people can get in. The schedule had us playing October 3rd and 4th up in Fairbanks. Obviously, that's not going to happen. We're probably not going to play any hockey in the month of October. What does this do to the schedule? How hard are coaches working behind the scenes, et cetera, trying to figure this out? Okay, are we only going to play conference games? Are we only going to play once against everybody, twice? We had a schedule. What are we doing with that? We pretty much have to blow it up and start over.
Yeah, you're right on there, Bill. That's blown up. That original schedule is, you know, with that October date, you know, most likely not being able to hit is gone. And again, we have multiple contingency schedules in place for our league schedule depending on the start date. So you know that's not too challenging to do. I shouldn't say that. The league office has done a good job and getting those multiple copies done. And so there are challenges, but they have those done. And so we do have some data to work from or some dates to work from that point. The harder part, and again, you know, to yesterday was a big day. There's going to be some news trickling out. We've got a national phone call that we've been doing weekly the last few months. And the 16th was a big day. The NCAA, you know, is going to have some further details and information, maybe not complete decisions, but some potential direction for winter sports, championships, and things like that. So we'll know a little bit more later today nationally of what the winter sports decision looks like potentially. And I think the hardest thing we're all dealing with as coaches is we don't have any idea what non-conference, if non-conference, will occur. You know, is the Big Ten going to play non-conference games? Is the NCHC? Those are the teams that are mostly in our footprint. You know, is there non-conference opportunities with any of those schools? And, you know, we just don't know that right now. So we're all kind of in a holding pattern. And if we're not able to do that, you know, we will look at some non-conference games within the WCHA. Obviously, you know, I think we all want to kind of not travel a lot and not, you know, put our student athletes at risk by going to different cities or states and things like that. So we could see a real regionalized non-conference slate to kind of get going non-conference before the WCHA season fully kicks off.
Maybe we could have a season where we just play Michigan Tech, Northern Michigan, and Ferris State, and we don't play anybody else.
Well, that could happen non-conference. I don't think it'll happen WCHA, but non-conference wise, you know, that could be exactly what it looks like. And I think the good news, you know, for Lake State and our fans is that our footprint is pretty good for that. You know, we can, you know, we probably wouldn't try to get involved with Mankato or Bemidji if it's WCHA non-conference games before the league schedule kicks off. Easily can play Michigan Tech, Northern Michigan. We got Ferris, Bowling Green, you know, all a good footprint for us. And then if there's going to be some non-conference games, you know, certainly Michigan, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Western Michigan are all teams that we would try to, you know, see where they're at and arrange some games that way.
Well, it's interesting. It's we thought in the month of August that we'd have a definite answer here as to what we're going to do, but we don't know for sure when we're going to play. We're just optimistic that we are going to play. What are you doing right at this point with regard? And you mentioned a moment ago that you're probably going on the ice today, so you get back on. How many on-ice practices can you have? Can coaches work with players yet? Are you working out in the weight room a couple times a week at this point? And are the athletes wearing masks when they're doing any of these activities, or do they just wear them when they're in the dressing room together and away from the rink?
All good questions. You know, so we were going well. I mean, obviously, I think us and Notre Dame were the only two schools or two hockey schools to start with that early start date, August 10th, if I remember correctly, going way back there already. So we had a few good weeks, and we had smaller groups, originally three groups. We went to two groups to try to continue to, you know, not cross groups and social distance guys and things like that. And we also had a lot of time, we felt like, to prep for the season, even with that October start date. So we were off to a good start. And then again, and unfortunately shut down a moratorium on athletics due to, you know, a couple of cases coming up on campus and, you know, understand that in some ways, but, you know, we want to, you know, continue to let our guys get going. So yeah, we hope to be back full go today and, you know, move forward from there. During that moratorium, that was all athletic related activities. So, you know, no strength coaches, no hockey coaches, et cetera, were allowed through those 14 days. And now, you know, hopefully that'll change. Hopefully, probably fully back. Workouts will resume, on ice should resume, and then we keep our prep work. You know, we're really blessed. Those of you who have seen our space, we can actually social distance our whole team within our locker room. We got to be the only team in the country that has a big enough locker room to provide 6 feet of distance from every player. But we are able to kind of keep our groups in half by workout groups and on ice groups. So we really try to minimize any time we're in a space like that together. So usually it's half a team spaced out with mask, as you said. You know, the mask mandate from Governor Whitmire was not in effect while we were going, and I still don't have full clarification if that's for college sports or just high school sports. You know, I have a hard time thinking our kids can wear a mask on the ice, you know, with the moisture in the air going into a mask. I also think visibility-wise, you know, hockey, your vision's so important, whether you're looking at a puck or using your periphery vision to see, you know, where a hit might be coming or approaching the boards. I would really be concerned about the safety of our student athletes from a spinal injury or a concussion type of injury if a mask slips up out of place or you're trying to look down in your feet to find a puck. So to me, it's very dangerous to try to wear a mask in a contact sport, and you know, we're hoping that that's not what we need to do for that situation.
Yeah, I know high school football is starting up again. I heard Coach's Corner last Saturday morning. Scott Menard, the head coach of the Blue Devils, was talking about new masks that they have that are like full face shields for their linemen to wear so that they don't have to wear a mask underneath the helmet, because he says we can't breathe. You can't get enough oxygen. And I can understand that. Yeah. Masks are debilitating. I mean, just walking around in a store here in Sault Ste. Marie, if you do it long enough, you can feel it. You can feel the effects of having that mask on. So I can't imagine an athlete at a high level trying to wear a mask under a face mask, like on a hockey shield. But I thought to myself when Scott was talking about that, well, if they can do that and that satisfies the rules for football and the MHSAA, then hockey ought to be good for that, because we wear full face shields all the time anyway.
Yeah, and I, you know, we actually you know, have the full iTech fields for all, right, or our shields for our whole team this year, and thinking that might have been, I know Bauer was really concerned that they'd be running out, so that is an option as well, to go the full iTech shield and help protect ourselves as well. But you know, again, I go back to the impaired vision. You know, you're a football player, running back, and you know, your mask is affecting your periphery vision. I think we're putting our kids in a real risk to sustain, you know, pretty significant injuries and injuries, and that, you know, that happens in our sports. You know, that's a risk we all take, and I just hate to see that you know, more potential injuries come because you can't see properly and protect yourself and prepare for contact if your vision is impaired. And you know, obviously mask debates all over the map in terms of, you know, when they should be worn and where they should be worn, and I don't want to delve into that, but I think safety wise I have concerns with our players wearing it on the ice.
Yeah, it's a big concern, and you know, we're trying to play a sport here, and it's really, this COVID-19 thing has thrown a monkey wrench into everybody's works. But we're going to continue to talk about that and the individual players, etc., on this Laker team this year. Damon Witten along with Bill Crawford. You're listening to Laker Hockey Talk, and we're going to hear from one of our sponsors right now, but we'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400.